Jewish audio on Chabad.org.
So we move on now with the letter Beis. The Gemara says, Alefcha Chachma, that the idea of Aleph means to learn. The first blush at learning is called Aleph. In fact, in Aramaic, a school is called an Ulpan or Ulpana. That's where the modern terminology of Ulpan, where people learn Hebrew, comes from. And we say, Alefcha Bina. Alefcha Bina means that we start off at Aleph, and from Aleph we go to Beis. What is Beis? Beis represents the concept of development of an idea. The idea, the notion of digesting, of analyzing, of coming to a deeper level of understanding. So there's going to be something that we talked about previously in the letter Aleph, the verses that comprise Aleph. Now we're moving into the letter Beis. And that's something to keep in mind. The Alshev tells us that at first blush, David HaMelech talks about simplicity, wholeheartedness, devotion, commitment, blind faith. I'll learn Hashem's Torah, but it's really about sincerity. That has to be the foundation. Which fits very much with the notion that before we got the Torah, we said, it's the first thing we said, Nasa, we're going to obey, we're going to listen, only afterwards Nishma. But there has to be Nishma, there has to be an understanding that follows. And Nishma is the idea of Bina. So first we start off with the concept of acceptance, of sincerity, simple wholeheartedness. But from there we move into the level of a deeper understanding, of a deeper appreciation. And David HaMelech here yearns to have knowledge of Torah. In fact, one could say that in these 8 verses that are arranged for the letter Beis, that the first 4 speak about his yearning for knowledge of Torah. The second 4 is really an appreciation, a thanks, an acknowledgement. The first 4 are about his yearning, his seeking, his desire to understand Torah. And interestingly, the letter Beis begins with a question. Some say it's a literal question, like Ibn Ezra, Radak, and others. And the Me'idi and other Rishonim say it's a rhetorical question. But regardless of how you frame the question, whether he's actually asking something or simply trying to make a point, it does begin with a bit of a question mark. Bame yizake nar es orchoi. How does a young lad, a young person, make his path meritorious? That's the way we translate the idea of a zechut, is a merit. So how do you make yourself meritorious? The truth about the word zechut, or merit, is that it comes from the organic terminology of clean, of pure. We talk about the notion of making something zach, of crystallizing something, and cleansing it. So how does one's path become clean? How does one's path become pure? And the answer, says David HaMelech, is lishmer kidvarecha, to follow the words of Hashem. As the Alshech says, as soon as we start to involve our own understanding, as soon as our comprehension rises to prominence, there is a danger. And the danger is that once we understand, or once we're doing things on the basis of our comprehension, then we may veer off the path of Hashem. We may start doing our own thing. Here's how the Radak puts it. He says, David HaMelech is trying to explain to you, Le'yihye derecha adam zach, a person's approach to Yiddishkeit will not be pure. It will not be pure except if the maisa sheyishmer kemesha leimed. If it's not academic, if the learning of Torah is then brought into the realm of action. It's something that you do so that you'll act upon it. So the polar opposite of what we call today Jewish studies in secular arenas. So we have this departments of Jewish studies. Academic, theoretical, in the abstract. One who approaches Jewish studies in that fashion will lose the purity of Torah. Because then you start mixing in subjective opinions. It's not a question of looking for the truth of Torah. It's a question of how I can twist and turn the words of Torah to prove the point or bias that I come with. So he says the most important thing about the learning of Torah is keeping Torah. Lishmer kedvernecha. Radak says, ki im yilmed v'layase, if a person will study Torah, but he will not act upon the lessons that he learned, ein ze ela mechur. He uses rather harsh terminology. He says that is disgusting. That's What he means literally is it becomes filled with toxins. You're mixing other things in there. So it's not pure anymore. When you want something and you want it to be pure, so the way to keep it pure is that it remains grounded. And grounded means that whether I do or don't understand, I have to obey the Torah. The Rambam talks about the notion of understanding mitzvahs and of explaining mitzvahs. And he says, you have to be very careful when you start to explain mitzvahs, because if you start to explain mitzvahs, you can also start explaining them away. And he says, Shlomo HaMelech, the wisest of people, made this mistake. The Torah gave certain restrictions on marriage, and Shlomo HaMelech felt that he knew why, and he was not susceptible, and he wasn't careful, and as a result, Shlomo HaMelech becomes a failure in the end. And the Rambam says, therefore, one has to be very careful to base one's observance on the notion of what we understand. At the same time, however, the Rambam also says, Kol ma sha'ata yochol liten bo tam, ten bo tam. Whenever you can give a reason, you should give a reason. Why? Not because the reason I do a mitzvah is the reason that I have, or the understanding that I have created, or the understanding that I've been able to comprehend. It just gives us a sense of excitement, a sense of passion. We feel good about something when we understand it. When you put time in and it makes sense, then you're not simply following robotically. You're involved, you're engaged. Your heart's involved, your mind's involved, your passion is inflamed. When you don't know what you're doing, you don't appreciate what you're doing, so then it becomes like a dry crust of bread. You're just going through the motions. So of course we need to have reasons. But the way to ensure that the reasons don't get in the way of the purity of the Torah is that regardless of the philosophies and ideas, one always keeps. One always follows. And that's how David HaMelech begins his first blush when he talks about the letter Beis, talks about Bina. He says, B'mei Yizakeh, how will we keep this clean? How will we keep it wholesome? How does it remain Torah? Instead of Chas V'Shalom taking us off the path of the Torah, the answer is Lishmer Kidvarecha. That we have to follow the words of Hashem, Kidvarecha, like your words. Radak says something else. He says, why do we talk about a nar? Why are we talking about a child over here? Well, for adults, it's not important. He says it's all about conditioning. If a child is raised from the earliest time of his education, that regardless of what we do understand or don't understand, one has to follow what Hashem says. He says, in that case, Yar gilatzme b'zeh be'emes. It becomes second nature. It becomes habitual. It becomes habitual to the point that it's not superficial. It's not only something I engage in. It becomes part of who I am. And by the way, we are capable of changing certain genetics. It's called epigenetics. You can change the superficial level of your genes, can actually become changed by your behavior. You could even pass that on to the next generation. That's why alcoholics usually have alcoholics. Or people who have other kinds of negative behavior very often pass the negative behavior on. Doesn't mean you can't break out of it, but this means you have a greater propensity towards it. So therefore, if a person is yargalatzme be'emes, where it becomes like nature, it's not something I'm doing, it's who I am, he says then, yizke orche bezeh, his path becomes that way. Once your path becomes the way, la'ilum yizach, then you'll always be pure. But he says, if as a child, we're not so careful, and a person gets used to do things slothfully, or sloppily, or without really following or doing exactly what you're told, but, you know, just getting by, as they say. So then, what happens is, you start off on a certain path, that's the way you continue. There's an interesting study that was done about people and hygiene. It says most people's lifetime habits of hygiene are fully formed at 10 to 5 years old. It means if a child grows up in a slobby house, he will be a slobby person. If a child grows up in a neat house, the likelihood is there will be a neat person. 5 years old. You know, Pavlov's dogs, the Pavlovian thing? You get used to it, especially as a child. People get used to things very quickly. And that's why David HaMelech emphasized the idea of B'mei Zaken Nar, because it's very important to understand the Torah. And it's actually a moral imperative. It's a sacred imperative. We're supposed to try to understand Hashem's word as much as possible. But not that Chas V'Shalom it should take the place of our observance. Not that it should supersede our obedience to follow the mitzvahs of Hashem. This is the approach of Radak. The Me'iri has a different way of understanding this. The Me'iri says that when David HaMelech says, "Bamai Izaka Na'ar," he's talking about himself. David HaMelech was a very humble person. And he looked at himself as if he was still a child, as if he's just maturing, as if he's just growing up. And David HaMelech says, I so much want to reach a perfect goal, and I feel I haven't attained it yet. So he's expressing himself. This is like his frustration or his yearning. The Me Izaka Na'ar. What is a lad? What is a young? What's a kid? What's somebody who's just starting, who hasn't achieved anything yet? How is he going to succeed? Lishmer kedvarecha, by being able to listen to the words of Hashem. Not mutually exclusive. Both are true. Both are true. This does speak to us in the voice of how we should educate children and what's the foundation of our Yiddishkeit education. But it also speaks to Bessa David HaMelech's humility. So there's a very interesting story that's related by the Friedrich Rebbe, that the Alter Rebbe, after 14 years of marriage, did not have a son. And he very much wanted to have a son. So he asked his Rebbe, the Magid of Mezritch Bracha, that he should have a son. So the Magid of Mezritch recited this verse. He said, "Bamei Yizake Na'ar," with what does one have the merit of bringing the son into the world? Es Archei, when he has Achnasas Archem, when he opens his home. And the Alter Rebbe must have opened his home more, as the story goes, and afterwards he had a son who became known as the Mittel Rebbe, Rabbi Dovber, his oldest son, who became his successor. In another letter, the Friedrich Rebbe quotes this teaching in the name of the Baal Shem Tov, and it seems that that's the way the Rebbe would repeat this teaching in the name of the Baal Shem Tov. So, these are the facts. But here's here's my thought. What does it have to do with literal meaning? This business of Mei Zakenar, it's Orchei, the idea of Achnasas Orchem. There's a story told about the Alter Rebbe, that he was once traveling, and they came to a hamlet. And in this particular hamlet, a village, there was an individual who excelled in Achnasas Orchem. In hospitality, nobody could come close to him. So much so, that when he was able to, he built an extension onto his home, like a motel. And he had rooms there, guest rooms. And anybody who came, no questions asked, immediately got a clean bed, a place to stay. They could stay for as long as they wanted. And if it was a poor person, and he didn't have proper clothing, this individual not only would feed them during their tenure when they stayed there, but he would even give them a new suit of clothes. And that was his thing. That's what he devoted his life to. So the story goes that the Alter Rebbe comes to this hamlet, and they stay with the Chassidim, or with the Alter Rebbe, they stay in this inn. The Alter Rebbe did not introduce himself, and the Chassidim did not tell the host who they were, but he noticed that this has to be a special person. He saw the way the people are hovering around the Alter Rebbe. He said, "It's not an ordinary person. This has got to be some very famous Jewish leader." So he came and he said, "Can I ask you a question? There's something that's always bothered me." Alter Rebbe said, "Sure, go ahead." He said, "David HaMelech says in Tehillim, 'Zireya tzedakah,' somebody who plants, who sows kindness, 'Schar emes,' his reward is truth." He says, "Nobody could say I don't plant kindness. I mean, say whatever you want. I built an inn. Who builds that? Who builds? Like, I don't just let him into my house. I created a whole infrastructure to take care of guests. I'm for sure 'Zireya tzedakah.'" So the reward is supposed to be emet. What's emet? Emet is when you do something for it itself, not for any kind of spin-off, not for any kind of secondary reason. Which means when we do a mitzvah be'emet, not because we think that there's going to be a fringe benefit, or that people will be impressed, or that you make your mother-in-law happy. You do a mitzvah just for the sake of the mitzvah. That's emet. So he says, "Here I am. I'm doing this mitzvah. I'm toiling for years and years to make emet, to do Achnasas Archem for real." And he says, "You know, I often find myself when people are leaving, I still have an ear kind of bent. I'm waiting to hear people say, 'What a great guy. How amazing he is.'" And he said, "That bothers me so much. Because if I was really doing this for the truth, I should not want compliments from anybody. I should not ask anybody for any kind of feedback. I should do the mitzvah for the sake of doing the mitzvah, and I shouldn't ask for anything else. Why does my ear still bend?" He says, "I can't control myself. I still always listen. I'm still always fishing for somebody's compliment. Not directly, but I just want to overhear it." First of all, that's pretty cool. That person should be so devoted. And what bothers him? It bothers him that somebody should give him a compliment. That's like an amazing madrega in and of itself. I don't know anybody like that. But this person was clearly not a typical individual. He was really a special person. And this is the question he posed to the Alter Rebbe. So the Alter Rebbe, when he heard this question, he began to think very deeply. To the point, as was his practice sometimes, when he would think very deeply, the Alter Rebbe would sometimes lose himself. He was totally immersed in cerebral activity. He would not be aware of what's going on around him. And as the way that Rebbe told the story, he fell against a doorpost. In other words, if there wouldn't have been a doorpost, he would have fallen on the floor. It wouldn't know the difference because he was in a world of contemplation. And he remained like that with his eyes closed for an extended period of time. And then he opened his eyes and he said a few words. He said like this, "Der ani is zat," three words, "the poor man is sated, und das is der emes," and that's the truth. That was the answer. The poor man is sated, and that's the truth. So what's the answer? The answer is, when David HaMelech says that somebody who's a Reiyat Tzedakah gets emes, he's not saying that you will become a Isha Emet. He's not saying that you'll become a person who doesn't look for any kind of payback. He says the mitzvah, the question is the mitzvah pure? Is the mitzvah perfect? Is the mitzvah done by emet? And the answer is that when it comes to tzedakah, contrary to what the Western faith systems espouse, that tzedakah is about give it till it hurts you and make a sacrifice. From a Jewish perspective, tzedakah has nothing to do with you, the giver, and everything to do with the recipient. How did the recipient feel when they got the tzedakah? Not if I felt good giving the tzedakah. I don't matter. What matters is the recipient. If the recipient is robbed of his dignity, that's not complete tzedakah. That's why, if you have the option of giving tzedakah and that nobody should know who they got it from, that's even better than you not knowing who got it. Why? Because the person doesn't know who they got it from. How do they say you sneeze on the truth? The person doesn't know who you got it from. That's the greatest expression of tzedakah. Because their dignity is not compromised. They don't feel bad about it. You know, it says about Avraham Avinu that he always used to walk the guests to the door. He would escort the guests. And the Rambam says something fascinating. When he talks about Achadas HaSarachim, he says that, the Rambam says the words, "V'hu ha'choik ha'gadol," this is the great statute that Avraham Avinu established, the idea of not only to provide, but also to escort, to walk somebody out. Well, what's the most important thing? Getting a walk out the door or getting a meal? Surely getting a meal. This is the choik ha'gadol. This is the great statute of Ram that will walk the person out. So the Rebbe explained, when a person has a meal, but then he walks out of the house by himself, he feels bad. He doesn't feel good about himself. So he's biologically satisfied. His stomach is full. But he feels empty. When a person is being escorted out, and thank you so much for coming. It was so nice to have you. It was a wonderful opportunity. You added so much to our dinner table. How does the person feel? He feels good. And that was what Avraham Avinu did. His greatness in tzedakah was, he made the people feel good. That's emes. It's emes not because the mitzvah is done with emes. It's emes because the mitzvah is emes. That is the emes of the mitzvah. There is actually no mitzvah like that. Every mitzvah depends on our efforts. How much of an investment did you make? How much fervor? How much passion? What we call ava v'yira. How much reverence? How much awe? How much commitment? You did a mitzvah more beautifully. You did a mitzvah haphazardly. Did a mitzvah mindlessly. Did a mitzvah mindfully. Depends on you. There is one mitzvah in the Torah that your mindfulness is actually irrelevant. It's a mitzvah tzedakah. The halacha says if a person loses a dollar and somebody else comes and finds the dollar and the person who finds it is a worthy recipient, then the individual who lost the dollar gets the mitzvah of tzedakah. Even they didn't know they lost a dollar even. I didn't give anything. Not only I didn't give anything, I don't feel like I gave anything. I didn't even know I gave anything. It doesn't make a difference. The tzedakah is still tzedakah. Because this is the one mitzvah that doesn't depend on us. So this is, by the way, since we're talking about Avraham Avinu, it's interesting to note that Avraham Avinu's big description, the big narrative of Avraham Avinu's kindness, is to a bunch of angels that didn't need food anyway. So what's the point? So the Rebbe explains there, they didn't need to eat, but they still have feelings. Avraham made them feel good. And the fact that Avraham made him feel good, that is tzedakah in and of itself. That is hospitality in and of itself. A person comes into somebody's house and they feel uncomfortable, that's not hospitality. They tell a story. There was once an individual who had a guest, and he said, "Listen, times are tough. You can stay in my house, but I have to charge you." And he named a very high price. And the person said, "No choice. Fine. I'll pay. I have to pay an hotel anyway." And the person, of course, made sure to use every ounce of the amenities because he's paying for it. When he's ready to leave, he came to pay. He said, "No, I don't want your money. You told me you're charging. So I wanted you to feel free to do whatever you wanted. This is, you enjoy yourself? Now. But this is my way of Knesset Archim. This is all beautiful, right? This is all about just do the right thing. So it seems to me that the story with Alter Rebbe and the teaching of the Baal Shem Tov and the simple pshat, the way the Mefarshim explained, is not mutually exclusive. But Mei Yizak and Na'ar, let's go away from the story of the Alter Rebbe for a minute. Let's go back to the simple pshat. In what way can one make sure that the path is pure? What's the answer? The answer is Lishmer Kedvarecha. Do what you're supposed to do. Follow the mitzvah as it's supposed to be done. And if you do that, if the understanding or comprehension does not detract from the devotion and commitment, then in that case, you're in good shape. Everything's fine. And that becomes the foundation. So this is almost like the Al-Shef says, almost like a disclaimer. Before we start this whole business of Mei Yizak and Na'ar, we're going to yearning. This is we're seeking knowledge. Before we seek knowledge, you say, yes, we seek knowledge. But knowledge does not come, chas v'shalom, at the cost or expense of commitment, of observance. We're not giving that away. And therefore it has to be, no matter what I understand, Lishmar Kidvarecha. Now the Malbim has an interesting discussion about this. He says, here we're talking about an oirach. An oirach means a path. But we started off the chapter of Tilim. We talked about Ashrei Tmimei Dorech. He said, what's the difference in a dorech and an oirach? What's the difference in a road and a path? And the Malbim has a very interesting suggestion. He says, the highway is the general well-trodden road. The oirach is the little paths, the little areas. He says there are people who have ideas about life. They have the right ideas. They have to live a meaningful life, and they have to live a life of devotion, and they have to live a life of service, and a life of commitment, and not a life of selfishness and narcissism. They have the general ideas, right ideas. What is morality? What is decency? What is appropriate? They know which highway they're on. They're on the right highway. But when they have to get off on an exit, when you have to take a small path, sometimes a person gets challenged. Of all the basic principles, but to get into the nitty-gritty, those niggling details of how I will or will not respond to a particular circumstance, over there it's very, very easy for a person who has moral compass that's generally in place, it's very easy to end up going the wrong way. It's very easy to make mistakes and to drop some of the balls as you're juggling life. So he says that's where David HaMelech takes it to the next level. Generally speaking, the general paths, wholesomeness, sincerity, yes. But you want to keep the path, you want to really stick to it? You want those big ideas to be translated into little realities? Lishmer kidvarecha. Follow the Shulchan Aruch. Every situation, what should I do in this situation? Ask a shayla, look at Shulchan Aruch. Keep going back to the big book. Keep going back to dvarecha. If you go back to dvarecha, Hashem's words, then you're okay. Then regardless of what comes, and regardless of what faces you, you'll be able to proceed according to the will and desire of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to follow Hashem's Torah. Okay, so that's how that's the first pasuk over here, Mei Yizakeh Na'aretz Orchei, and the Mei Yizakeh Na'aretz, that question or rhetorical question, and the general answer, the concept of Lishmer Kedvarech. David HaMelech now further expresses his yearning for understanding Hashem's Torah. He says, "Bechol libi drashticha, with my whole heart, I sought you out. Al tashgeini mimitzveisecha. Since I sought you out with my whole heart," says David HaMelech, "so therefore, please don't allow me or cause me to make a mistake," from the word shogeg, to err or to slip up in your mitzvahs. So once again, we have to understand what David HaMelech is asking for. why is b'chol libi derashticha, I sought you with all my heart? Why is that the requisite? Or why is that going to lead me in a situation of al tashgeni mitzvasecha? So first of all, the Alshech says, exactly what I told you. This is the concern. The concern is once I start getting really smart, then I'm not so really observant anymore. Because I'm much smarter. I'm not like a dodo, just follow what everybody says. They tell a story, there was a woman who was very, very frum and very careful in her kitchen, and her husband was a big Talmud Chacham, and she had all these stringencies in place, and he came in and he was laughing. He said, what are you doing? You know, this is like, it's unnecessary. The halacha doesn't require this. And she said, get out of my kitchen right now. He says, you and your Shulchan Aruch, you'll soon have me eating milk and meat together. Goodbye. So there's this idea of above and beyond the call, of being very, very, very stringent, of following, trying to follow the exact details, because sometimes when people get very knowledgeable and people have a certain comfort with, this can be dropped, that's not really so important. If you understand this, you know, probably this safeguard won't really be necessary here anyway. And Milanu Gadol Mishleima HaMelech, who, there's nobody wiser than Shleima, and Shleima HaMelech made this mistake. And the Rambam uses him as the paradigm of what we have to avoid. So therefore the Alshech says it's natural. I don't want to make any mistakes. So what's the way to rule out making mistakes? B'chol libi derashticha. That I seek you out with all my heart. And since I did this, as Radak says, ki ani keino sisi, I did this with all my heart. Asakti b'limudat Torah. Radak says, I engaged in the study of Torah. And I did it ba'avur ha'maisa, in order to follow through with action. Every theory should be actualized in a concrete fashion. I did this, all the action was done to follow the calling of Hashem, to fulfill the destiny, the intention of Avodas Hashem, of serving Almighty God as He ordains in His Torah, not to make me a reputation or make me fame or popular amongst others. So since I'm seeking you, holy be, with all my heart, that's why Hashem, I ask you, make sure I don't make any mistakes. In other words, let's do Radak Unplugged now. If a person does mitzvahs for a variety of reasons, he does it because he loves Hashem, he wants to serve Hashem, he also wants to impress his best friend, he also wants people to say that he's a Talmud Chacham, he also wants to impress some relative, and then also he's going to ask a favor for such and such a person, but if he lives life like such and such, maybe he'll get the favor done faster. Use your own imagination. People have all of the strangest reasons for why they do certain things. Half the time imaginary. But whatever, they have these reasons. Could you call that b'chol lev? Could you call that wholehearted? Certainly not. It's part-hearted. My heart's somewhere, a little bit here, a little bit there. I desire this, I desire that, and the other thing. And because I desire all these things, these different desires form a confluence of emotion that engenders action. But the confluence of emotion is engendered by a variety of different things. There's a whole kaleidoscope of things which are impelling me. And because there's a kaleidoscope of things impelling me, I can't say that I did this wholeheartedly. It's not b'chol libi. I serve Hashem part-heartedly. So if you serve Hashem part-heartedly, before we talked about doing it, you know, with too much wisdom or too much knowledge, too much understanding, in which you start to rationalize why you don't need to do things. But the safeguard is that if you don't do it b'chol lev, if you don't do it with the whole heart, so who says you're going to end up having a perfect scorecard? And here we enter into a very interesting area. Doing mitzvahs right needs a bracha. It's not so simple. It's not so simple that the mitzvah will always come out right. You know, we have different salutations. We wish each other for Yom Tov. Hanukkah is coming up. What do we say on Hanukkah? Chanukah Sameach, Afreilich and Chanukah. Afreilich and Chanukah. We say a good Yom Tov, good Shabbos. What do we say on Pesach? We are Akosheren on Afreilich and Pesach. Why don't you say Akosher Shavuos, Akosher Shavuos, Akosheren Rosh Hashanah, Akosheren Sukkos? It's like, you don't need great prayers to make sure you hear the shofar right. Hear the shofar right. The Baal Keri knows what he's doing. The Baal Tekeri knows what he's doing. He blows the shofar. Everybody listens. It's not like who knows. The sukkah is a sukkah. Okay? It's pretty hard to make a sukkah puzzle sometimes. We can safely assume all the sukkahs we sat in a kosher. A Pesach. Pesach is a very, very tricky situation. The tiniest morsel of chametz, and who knows what could absorb. We say for Pesach, we need a bracha. They tell a story that there was a Talmud, Reb Pinchas of Karetz, was one of the great disciples of the Baal Shem Tov. that he decided he's going to be so firm this year, he's not only not going to eat, he's not going to see anybody. He's going to stay in his own little room, his own little area. He's not even going to come to his Rebbe, come to the Pinchasel. He's going to sit there and be so religious, forget about it. Like, it's going to be perfect of the perfect of perfect. And he took water and prepared the water before, and he was mamish, barely eating anything, super frum, on steroids frum, a whole Pesach. Comes the last day of Pesach, and I didn't see my Rebbe, a whole Yom Tov, it's like a tish, the Rebbe for Briggs. I should go. It's anyway the last day. It's only rabbinic. At least I can go in there, you know. I'll try not to eat anything. He comes in, and the Rebbe looks at him, and he says, there's wheat in your water. The water you took has chametz inside. So he ran home out of his box, and he found in the bottom of this big tank of water, there was actually little kernels. Especially eating chametz all Pesach. So he came back and says, Rebbe, I was so religious, I was so, why didn't you tell me? He says, I would have liked to, you didn't show up here whole Pesach. So it's like, person wants to be frum and perfect, it doesn't always work like that. So for Pesach we need a bracha. We say, we hope it goes well. We hope it goes well. It's interesting when people have a baby boy, they say, oh, they bless him, the bris should be, be'ito bizmana. The bris should be in the right time. Give me the right time, who cares? You have your whole life, you have a bris milah. So the 8 days, you have the 18th day, what's the difference? The answer is, it's a schus to be able to do a mitzvah right. Can't take that for granted. The baby's not in good health, you can't do it. We should want to do a mitzvah right. So a yid blesses another yid. You should have the merit, you should be able to do a mitzvah right. And when somebody does a mitzvah, what do you answer? Tizkel of mitzvahs. You should have the merit to do mitzvahs. Because doing mitzvahs is a merit. It's a gift. And therefore, David HaMelech says, I'm serving you wholeheartedly. Please, I shouldn't make any mistakes. It's very easy to make mistakes. Anybody can make mistakes. And sometimes the mistakes are well-intentioned. It's a mistake. You want to do the wrong thing. This is okay, now I'm going to, how do I get rebellious now? How do I do something that God doesn't want me to do? Chas v'shalom, he wants to do everything right. And didn't work out the way. So this is the idea of the B'chol Libi. The B'chol Libi is the guarantee that enables a person to have this divine protection that he shouldn't make those mistakes. Now, Alter Rebbe has a fascinating take on this. He says, you know, that we say that a person is supposed to serve Hashem B'chol Levavcha. Teiras Moshe, it's right in the Krishma. B'chol Levavcha, what does it mean B'chol Levavcha? So the Gemara says, B'shnei Yitzarecha, with both of your inclinations. Every one of us possesses a godly inclination, a desire to be selfless and wholesome and spiritual. And we possess an animal inclination, an evil inclination, a Yetzirah. So what's called perfection in serving Hashem? If I take my Yetzirah and I beat him up and I don't listen to him and I listen only to my Yetzirah, the Yetzirah is there, but I don't listen to him. And he never gets me to do anything wrong. Is that called righteous or perfect? The answer is no. What's real Avodas Hashem? Real Avodas Hashem is not only that I knock out my Yetzirah, but I harness my Yetzirah. I channel the negative energy. And when you channel the negative energy, you can accomplish much more than otherwise. Because the Nefesh HaLekis, the godly soul, there's a limitation to how much you could accomplish. The Nefesh HaBahamas is very powerful. He's a Chayaro, he's an animal. An animal has Teichas, an animal has ability and wherewithal. And really, our goal is to harness not only the godly soul, but to harness also the animal soul. That's B'chol Levavcha. That's with all your heart. Says the Alter Rebbe, that this is how a person has to seek to daven. That he davens, he should serve Hashem b'chol levavcha. B'chol levavcha with your entirety, with your entire whole being. And that, says the Alter Rebbe, is what David Elch means, b'chol libi, with my whole heart, yetzatev and yetzahara, then I can ask Hashem, al tashgeini mitzvisecha, I shouldn't do anything wrong, I should follow everything through. So once we're talking about the heart, and we say, b'chol libi, that a person has followed along with everything that he does, he served Hashem wholeheartedly, and therefore feels comfortable having this expectation that he's going to be able to move forward. It's interesting that the Medrash Tilim says that the heart, everything is in the heart. Like the Mishnah tells us that it's all lev tov, it's about a good heart. And the Medrash says, a good heart takes a tzaddik to Gan Eden, and a bad heart, chas v'shalom, it brings a rasha down into Gehenna. It's all in the heart. So it's true when they say you have to be a Jew at heart. Just not just at heart. Be a Jew at heart means that you translate it. That was how we began, translate into action. So David HaMelech continues now with his heart. In Pasuk Yud Aleph, he says, Belibi tzofanti imrosecha. in my heart, the word tzafanti is like we have in the Haggadah, tzafon. Tzafon is like hidden, because the afikomen usually gets hidden, and then all of a sudden it comes out and it's revealed again. So believe it, tzafanti. In their heart it was hidden away. What was hidden away in my heart? Yimrasecha, your sayings. And why did I do this? Leman le'echtalach. So that I won't sin to you, won't sin against you. So the word tzafon can mean hidden. It can also sometimes mean something which is treasured. Because a treasure you keep in your heart. Treasure it. And it could also come from the idea of engraving. It's like it's indelibly imprinted in the heart. So, believe tzofon imrasecha, in my heart, tzofanti, I engraved it in my heart. And I'm engraved it in my memory, says Radak. Radak says, believe tzofanti means, ani nizhar, I'm exceedingly careful, shalei yeshkechena. I shouldn't forget it. Rather, it's tzfuna belibi. It's hidden into my heart. It's engraved in my memory. And why is that? Leman leyechta, says Radak, ki hashaycheyach yechta b'mitzvah. If you forget, you automatically will sin. He doesn't say yechta, you'll sin with a negative mitzvah. He says yechta b'mitzvah, the word chet, also can mean lack, imperfection. Like it says, ani ubni shleima chatoim. Bas Sheva says a message to David HaMelech, we're going to be lacking. We're not going to be fully embraced. There'll be less of. So sin means diminished. If a person can do a mitzvah in a certain level of devotion and they choose not to do it, they do it half-heartedly, not marshaling all of their ability, that's called a sin. Not that it's a sin, it's an egregious, rebellious sin. Just, you didn't do it. You didn't put yourself into it. You didn't put yourself into it. That's considered to be a shortcoming. You fell short. So the child came home and he brought you home an 85. He said, why'd you get an 85? So 85 is bad. I didn't fail. You didn't fail, but you could have got 100. Yeah, I could have. Why didn't you? I didn't put myself into it. That's what I meant. If a child puts himself into it, they get to 85. Well, he can't have any tinus to him. He did his best. He put himself into it. You want to see that somebody cares. You want to see somebody made an effort. So the idea of leman le'echtalach, where does it come from? Not putting our full effort in, when we forget. We get forgetful. We were mindless about it. And the whole concept of shikha in general, says this comes from klipa. The notion of forgetfulness comes from the idea that there's extraneous parts of life. Think that doesn't really matter that much to us. You know how somebody remembers something? When it happens to them. You never forget what happened to you. What do you forget? Forget what you learned. Why? Because it's not so important. If you experience it, that's what the Gemara says, very, very interesting, and something a little spooky thing. It says, Ein adam aim of the dvar halacha. You know when a person really knows a halacha? Elim kein nichshaba. You blow it, you don't forget it. Now, as the world says, when a man forgets his wife's birthday once, he will never forget it the rest of his life. Right? And she's right. How'd you forget that? I just forgot it. You just forgot it. The fact that you could forget it, that is talking the problem. How could you forget such a thing? So that shows a lack of consideration. It shows a lack of devotion. And therefore, David HaMelech says, I don't want to make any mistakes. I'm engraving this in my memory. I'm making it a part of me. This is my experience. I don't just learn Torah academically. I experience the Torah. And since I experience it, since it's something which is tzofanti, I hid it away in my heart, I relate to it emotionally, why don't we forget things that happen to us? Because that's emotional. In our heart, things in our heart we don't forget. Things in our mind we forget. It's in one ear, out the other. It's just academic. It's just intellectual. When you experience it in your heart, it's with you forever. And therefore, David HaMelech says, my learning of Torah is not just with my brain, it's not just intellectual, it's belibi tzofanti. And because it's belibi tzofanti, I did this all leman leyechta. It's interesting, the Malbim points out that there's a kind of a parrying with the previous verses. Here we say, b'chol libi derashticha, that I seek Hashem with all my heart, al tashgeni mitzvesecha. So what do we say in the letter Aleph? In the letter Aleph we said, Ashrei noitzrei edoysev. Fortunate is one who keeps Hashem's commandments. B'chol lev yidrashuhu. He seeks it out with his whole heart. So now, David HaMelech responds and says, before I talked about b'chol lev yidrashuhu, I will seek it out with my heart. Now he responds,
And he says, "B'chali b'derashticha, I did indeed seek it out of my heart, and that's why I can ask." Earlier in Pasuk Gimel it says, "Aflei Paulo Avlo, we didn't do anything wrong, b'drachav halacha, walked in Hashem's ways." Here he says it's not just a question of Paulo Avlo. Paulo Avlo means to do something wrong. It's an act of sedition, an act of rebellion. It's a sin of commission. Now David HaMelech takes it to the next level. He says, I engraved it in my heart, not only I shouldn't do a sin of commission, I don't want to do a sin of omission. I don't want to fall short. Not only lepa'alu avla, because lepa'alu avla, he still can make a mistake and do a sin. But here he's saying, b'libi tzofanti, that since this is engraved on, so to speak, the tablet of my heart, and since I see it in my mind's eye, and since it's a part of my life, I can be certain leyechta. There will be no sins of omission. I won't leave anything out because this is all relevant and it was all meaningful to me. And this approach brings us into the fourth and final pasuk we're going to study for today. Baruch atah Hashem, blessed are you God, lamdeni chukecha, who teaches me his statutes. So on a literal level, Baruch atah Hashem, lamdeni chukecha, this is the idea of the Tzun Mitzudas David says, Oyimer ani baruch ato Hashem, I thank you Hashem, al nesinas chukecha, I thank you for the statutes. And if you thank somebody for something, what does that show? You appreciate it. Good thing or a bad thing? A good thing. If somebody does something bad to you and say, thank you very much for that kick in the pants, I really appreciate it. No, you don't. You say, why'd you kick me in the pants? Not thank you for the kick in the pants. So you say thank you and you appreciate something. So some people say, oy vey, another mitzvah? Oh God, what do you want from me? You're always asking me for things. Leave me alone already. David HaMelech says, that's not the attitude. Another mitzvah? Oy, baruch atah Hashem. I'm so grateful for the opportunity to have more mitzvahs. I'm so happy that Hashem gave me the ability, lamdeini, to learn Hashem's Torah. Not only do I have to follow the law, but I can learn it. I can understand it. I can appreciate it. Which is, again, like the Alsho said, we start off Aleph, with the Alefcha, the basic first blush is sincerity, wholeheartedness, but then it goes into the appreciation of being able to study it. So David HaMelech thanks Hashem, and he expresses his gratitude for having this ability to study Hashem's Torah, and to be able to ingest, internalize the words of Hashem's teachings. The Radak, when he talks about this pasuk, he says, Ani mevarech u'meida lecha, I thank you, he says. I bless you. Al shalamadatani. I thank you for the knowledge I've accumulated till now. And if you're thankful for something you have, what will you automatically hope for? More of it. David HaMelech says, as you retire, I'm not stopping here. I'm grateful for having been able to study Torah and appreciate Hashem's word. And umevakish mufanecha, I ask, says Radak, shetil mideini aid, teach me more. I appreciate it. I'm happy about it. I want to keep learning. The Malbim follows that same style that we learned about before. He says earlier in the fifth pasuk, it says, "Achala yikeinu drachoi lishmachukecha." I'm trying. I'm hoping. I'm yearning to be able to follow your words. In other words, the tefillah, the prayer was in Aleph. The prayer was yikeinu drachov. My path should be fixed. My path should be guided. Now, I acknowledge and thank Hashem for it. So before there was this concept of I ask Hashem for it. At this point, now David HaMelech responds and says, Baruch atah Hashem, I asked you to guide my footsteps. You have guided my footsteps. And as such, I am grateful. And that's why I say, Baruch atah Hashem, thank you HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not only because my prayers have been answered, and I am keeping Hashem's word. Not only do I keep Hashem's word, I bless Hashem for it. I appreciate it. And this, my dear friends, is a beautiful concept in Yiddishkeit. It's one thing to keep it. It's another thing to love it. When you love it, you're grateful every moment. You don't just do what you have to do. You're so happy you have the opportunity to do it. That's what David HaMelech sought for himself. And that's his legacy that he imparts for us. And that's the final verse in which we talk about his drisha, his yearning for Torah. He didn't say, I learned enough. I had enough. He said, teach me more.
As much as they understand, I know that there is a new vista yet to be discovered. And David HaMelech never lost that freshness. Like he started off with the idea of as a child. A child is always excited. Children are always jumping. They always want to learn. They always want to go. They're never resting. They never spoke about the what he called the Feierlichkeit of our kind. A child is like a firecracker. He's always full of energy. We just want to sit around. Leave me alone. Let me rest. Don't bother me. We lose that. We lose that excitement. David HaMelech maintained his excitement. Maybe that's why he begins Yizak and Nar, like the Meiri said, it's like a child. He's always so excited. He learned something new. Another madrega, another level, another vista, another dimension, a new appreciation. And when the Yid has that kind of fervor, that kind of enjoyment, that kind of passion for his Yiddishkeit, for his study of Torah, so then he continues to go from strength to strength. Because it's not a burden. On the contrary, it's a labor, but a labor of love. And that's how we start off the first four psukim. The next four psukim are going to talk about David HaMelech's appreciation. Up until now, even this appreciation, even this Baruch Atah Hashem, is in a sense, it's a thanking, but it's also lamdeini, teach me more. It's also an ask. Afterwards, David HaMelech is simply now going to talk about his gratefulness and the happiness that he has from his opportunity to be a member of Klal Yisrael and to serve Hashem as the Torah allows us to.